Hello, friends, and good afternoon, or good morning, or good evening, depending upon where you are in the world. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW in Bellevue, Washington, on 1150 AM just outside Seattle in the United States. The program focuses on out-of-this-world information, including psychic phenomena, UFOs, metaphysics, and predictions for the coming years in Seattle, the United States, and beyond. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and to make this planet a far better and far happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we'll do it. We are the fastest-growing spiritual, psychic, and UFO radio program in the world, with listeners in over 60 countries, and I've also been told by my friends in high places that we have a lot of listeners off-planet from the Galactic Alliance. So whether you're on the planet Earth or off, welcome to the program. Today's show, I promise, will be probably one of the most profound programs I've ever had. During the first hour from 2 to 3 p.m., we will be interviewing Garnet Schildhauser, who's on the line now, who, in my opinion, is one of Canada's best psychics and mediums, not only for his ability to talk to the other side, but for the important and very profound messages of why we are here, what's the purpose of life. And these are important questions, and I know you'll find his interview fascinating. For the second hour, from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m., we'll be interviewing Eliza Methouse, a physician and a mother of five, who's been in contact with her son, Eric, who passed away when he was just 20 years old. With her on the telephone today will be Jamie Butler from Atlanta, Georgia, and Elsa's son, Eric. And I guarantee this show also will be simply out of this world. Before we begin, I'd like to thank the many wonderful sponsors of this show, including the Inspired Crystal Shop in at 765 Broadway in Tacoma, Brady's Oysters in Westport, Washington, and the Tokeland, beautiful Tokeland Inn in Tokeland, Washington. And with that, in a few minutes, I'd like to play a promo for my friends at Brady's Oysters in Westport, Washington. I'd also like to tell people about the wonderful events we have scheduled for the summer. Quickly, I had scheduled this on June 20th, but I'm having a little problem finalizing the venue. We will be having a spiritual film festival in the next couple of weeks with such famous spiritualists as Deepak Chopra, Bruce Lipton, and Lynn McTaggart in a film called Inori, or How Prayer Unites the World. The film was produced by Japanese film producer Tetsu Shinotori. And it's famous in Japan, but the film has never been seen in the United States before. So this will be a U.S. premiere. I will let you know the details next Friday about where the venue will be. At the end of June, I'll be participating on June 25, 26, and 27 in what's called a Fairy Human Relations Congress in Twist, Washington. This is a wonderful event. It's put on by a group of people. They've been doing it for about 15 years now. And they help people communicate and co-create with nature spirits, divas, and the fairy realms. And it's just amazing. It's an amazing event. If you like more information, please go to www.fairycongress.com or call Lindsay at 509-997-1032 for more information. I also plan to be there and we'll be doing some readings as well. On July 16th and 17th and 18th and 19th, I'll be sponsoring a visit by Japan's most famous psychic and medium, Ray Chandran. Originally from India, Ray does DNA soul healing and sound healing. He has a high success rate, and the workshops will likely be held at Bastyr University near Bellevue, although I'm still waiting on confirmation of that. If you'd like tickets or more information, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com or call me anytime on my toll-free number at 1-888-879-8339. Also on July 19th, we'll be having a water ceremony with Professor Jerry Pollack. The ceremony will be held to honor the late Dr. Masaru Emoto, who passed away last year. And at that same time, a similar ceremony will be held in Tokyo, Japan, by the Emoto Peace Project and by the office of Dr. Masaru Emoto. University of Washington Professor Pollack is considered the foremost water scientist in the world, and he will also be giving a keynote speech. On July 25th, I'll be participating in the Boeing Employees Parapsychology Fair at the Kent Commons in Kent, Washington, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. At 525 4th Avenue North in Kent. This is another wonderful opportunity. The admission's free, and I urge you all to come. On August 8th and 9th, I'll also be participating in the Ocean Shores Body and Soul Festival right on the beach and be giving psychic readings. For more information, please go to www.oceanshoresfestival.com. Finally, on August 19th to the 23rd, I'll be participating in a Mount Shasta UFO and Spiritual Conference in Northern California, and we have some fantastic people coming to that event, including Omnik Omnik. She is actually from Venus, and she has some truly profound messages for humanity. Rob Potter, who has his own wonderful radio program called Victory Radio from Mount Shasta. Anja Schaefer from Germany, who is Omnik Omnik's assistant. Alex Collier, who is a contactee from the Andromeda Galaxy. James Gillian, a UFO contactee who regularly invites people to his ranch in southwest Washington to look at UFOs. Scott Lemriel, who's a friend of mine. Scott's been in contact with the Galactic Alliance for the past 54 years. He has many, many interesting and profound messages to give. Craig Campobasso. Craig was on my radio show here a few months ago. He's a Hollywood film director of the award-winning movie Stranger at the Pentagon. Dr. Michael Sala, who's one of the world's best UFO researchers from Hawaii. For information registration, please go to my website or just go to www.eventbrite.com and look for the Mount Shasta Summer Conference. Or just send me an email. I'd be happy to send you information. I can also give you a discount on tickets as well. Sometime between the end of July and early August, I am planning also a trip to Eastern Washington to look at crop circles, depending upon whether they show up this year. Crop circles appeared in eastern Washington in 2007, 2009, and 2012, and so they've been coming at a frequency of once every 2 or 3 years, and we're due to have another one this year. So if it appears, I'll be taking a group there. So please stay tuned. And now I'd like to play a promo for my friends at Brady's Oysters out in Westport, Washington, and then we'll come right back in just a minute. Hello, friends. I'd love to tell you about a wonderful seafood place on the Washington coast. It's called Brady's Oysters. They're located on Highway 105, about 15 miles west of Aberdeen, Washington, in Westport. If you ever go out to the coast and you'd love some seafood, please stop by Brady's Oysters. They have wonderful seafood, including crabs, oysters, clams, salmon, halibut, steelhead, you name it. They've got it. And their prices are extremely reasonable. Their phone number, if you want to give them a call, is 360-268-0077. I've been there myself, and their seafood is great.
Negativity and fear, two staples of talk radio. Well, we figured we'd try something different. Alternative Talk, 1150.
Hello, friends, and welcome back. Out of This World Radio is supported entirely by donations, and for those who'd like to donate, please go to the Donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com, and just click on it. And I want to thank everyone for their donations and support. I also have a new column on my webpage called Ask Ted. When you click on the website at www.outofthisworld1150.com, please go to About Us, and then on the right side, just click on Ask Ted for free spiritual advice or help. We also have a new tab on the website for summer events, and all the events I just talked to, there's more detailed information there. I do psychic readings, and my accuracy rate for readings is between 90 to 100%. If you'd like a psychic reading, please contact me at my email or on my telephone number at 509-750-9793. Before we begin, I'd also like to thank the many wonderful people and sponsors of this show, including my dear friend Carol, who's been designing my website and providing wonderful support, my dear friend Ann Nelson, business professor at Walla Walla College, who helped me start my program, my dear friend Michiko Hayashi, and the wonderful people at the Moto Peace Project in Tokyo, Japan, my friends in the Galactic Alliance, who've been supporting my show off-planet, and my angelic and earthly family, as well as my wonderful sound engineer, Eric Ryder, and my station manager, Eric Crema, without whose help and support this program would not have been possible. I'm sorry if I'm talking a little fast today, but I am very excited about my guest, and I'm rushing through so we can get him on as soon as possible. You can always listen to the show live from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time at www.1150kknw.com. And after the show, you can always listen to the show at our website at www.outofthisworld1150.com and clicking on our guests. Now let's go to our wonderful guest, Garnet Schulhauser from British Columbia, Canada. Garnet, are you there?
I am, Ted.
Welcome to the program. I'm so happy you could come on today.
Thank you for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, you know, the purpose of my program, Garnet, is to raise consciousness and make this planet a better and happier place. And that's what you do. That's what you've done in your books, and you've got some very profound messages for humanity. I'm heard in many countries all over the world, and your comments today, you'll have a wide listening audience. And I know you have a lot of very profound messages for humanity. You know, as I'm saying this, the entire studio is lit up. It's just beautiful. There's just white light everywhere, and I think it's our friends from high places coming in to say that they're here, Garnet.
Good for you, Ted.
Thanks. A little bit about your background. You're a retired lawyer who lives near Victoria on Vancouver Island with your wife, Kathy, and little dog, Abby. You grew up on a small farm in Saskatchewan and moved to Calgary after law school, where you practiced corporate law for over 30 years with two blue-chip law firms. After retiring from your law firm in 2008, you began your new career as an author, and your first book, Dancing on a Stamp, was published in 2012. And since that time, you also have a second book called Dancing Forever with Spirit. And I have to tell you, my friends, these books are absolutely fascinating. I think I could read a little bit about how things started with you, but I think I want you to tell the story about how you started on your spiritual journey, Garnet. Could you please share that with my listeners?
Sure. Well, I was practicing law at the time, and it was May of 2007, and I was taking a stroll down the street one sunny afternoon in May, with my head in the clouds, sort of. I was very much of a typical sort of button-down, straight-laced lawyer.
Sure.
And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a homeless man jumped out in front of me and just sort of stopped me in my tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked very much like a typical homeless person. I mean, he had long, stringy hair and a scraggly beard and dirty, slept-in clothes. But instead of going around him, as was my usual tactic when I encountered these people on the street, I just stood there, and it was like I was transfixed, because he had these amazing, dazzling, sparkling blue eyes, and that they were doing two things. First, they seemed to be penetrating deep within me, right down to the depths of my soul. And I felt this man knew everything about me, everything I'd ever said or done in my life, which was strange because we'd never met each other before.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, his eyes were sending me this wave of pure, unconditional love that was infusing my whole body with an amazing sense of peace and security and well-being. So I was like a deer caught in the headlights, Ted. I just stood there. I didn't want to move. I don't know how long I was there. I could have been in a time war for all I knew, but I really enjoyed the feeling that this guy was sending towards me. And then he broke the spell by saying to me, "Why are you here?"
Mm-hmm.
And then he quickly disappeared into a nearby store. Mm-hmm. So when I finally collected my wits, I decided I had to go in the store and find him. So I went in the only entrance. There's only one entrance and exit. I went in there. He was not in the store. I came back out. I walked up and down the street trying to spot him, but he was nowhere to be seen. So I resolved that night that the next day I had to come back to the same street at the same time and see if I could find this man.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did. Came back the next day and walked up and down the street. And when I was just about to lose hope of finding him, I spotted him sitting on a bench all by himself. So I walked up to him and I said, "Who are you, and why did you stop me the other day?" And he said, "I'm a soul just like you. I'm here to answer your questions and help you on your journey." Well, then my skeptical lawyer brain kicked in momentarily, Ted.
Sure.
And I said to him, "How do you think you can help me when you can't even help yourself?
Mm.
Because you've been sleeping on the street for weeks and you smell like a dead fish."
Oh, my God.
So he just gave me a big smile. And he said, "You know, looks can be deceiving. Because you look like you're a successful lawyer with everything under control, but we both know that's just a facade." He said, "You can turn around and go back to your office and see if you can find the answers you've been seeking for so many years in all those emails waiting for you on your computer, or you can sit down and talk with me."
Oh,
so luckily my intuition kicked in, and my intuition said, "You know, I really got to talk to this guy. He's a special guy. And besides, what do I have to lose? Half an hour of my time?" So I sat down on the bench, and we began a dialogue which went on over a number of different episodes for several months. Mm-hmm. And that dialogue resulted in me writing my first book, Dancing on a Stamp. And I found out early on, Ted, that in the conversation that his name was Albert,
mm-hmm.
and that he was actually one of my spirit guides in disguise. And he had come, appeared in front of me to answer my questions, you know, all the questions I'd been asking myself over the last number of years, you know, the eternal questions of life, like, who am I, why am I here, what's my life's purpose, and what happens to me when I die. So he came to answer my questions, but He also said that he had chosen me as to be one of his messengers, and my job was to write a book about his revelations. And so all of a sudden I realized I had to become an author, even though it had never occurred to me before, and I ended up, you know, writing my book.
You're like me. I used to be a lawyer. I'm happy not to be a lawyer, actually, anymore, but I'm not a lawyer.
So am I.
Well, it's unfortunately, there's a lot of negativity when you do practice, and it's the system is based upon conflict, and so you end up warring with people that sometimes it's better served by seeking harmony. By the way, I wanted to tell you, Albert, your friend is here. He popped in. And he's the one that's bathing my studio now in lots of white light. He's also bathing you in lots of white light as well.
Good for Albert. I'm glad to see. I mean, I know he's always around, but he doesn't always show himself.
Well, he's here now. He's definitely
good.
Here now. And he just fell upon, he just directed me to open up Dancing on a Stamp. He directed me to page 40, and he wants me to read this. Quote, you wrote, "Earth is a school that provides incarnated souls the opportunity to experience things that do not exist on the spirit side. Souls over here do not have to eat, breathe, drink, find shelter, or accumulate wealth or material goods. Likewise, there's no physical discomfort, sickness, or pain on the spirit side. Anything a soul wants on the spirit side can be created instantaneously through thought creation, a special process available on the spirit side that allows souls to create things instantaneously with the power of thought. As a result, there's no shortages of anything on the spirit side and no negative emotions. You cannot find anger, envy, or fear on the spirit side, only love and happiness." And then he's directing me, too, to your other book, which is called Dancing Forever with the Spirit. Oh, he says you have to write one more. Are you working on that now, the third book?
Third book's done. It's in the process of being published, Ted, actually, and should be released sometime in early 2016.
Okay, good. He's not bugging you. He knows you're busy, but he wants you to get that out. So,
it's in the hands of my publisher now. The wheels are turning, and it's sort of out of my control. But it will be released very soon.
Okay, good. He knows you're busy. The other thing he's pointing me to direct it to read, and he wants we discuss this, is that we are all eternal souls who will live forever, and one of the we must learn to expand our consciousness by discarding our negative emotions and embrace love and compassion before we self-destruct like other past Earth civilizations. And one of the important lessons I've learned in the last couple of years is to be positive. Last month I was in Tokyo, Japan, with the wonderful Emoto Peace Project in the office of the late Dr. Masaru Emoto, and I attended their Hado School, which is basically light worker training. That's what they emphasize through their office is love and gratitude, love and compassion. And when I saw those same words in the book that you had written, I said to myself, oh my goodness, they're all on the same page. I've also been in touch with Dr. Emoto since he passed away last October, and what he said during the last couple of months is that we don't have much time. He said he also thinks we are going to make it. I mean, we are going to turn the planet around in a positive way, so we don't self-destruct, but we don't have a lot of time. That's why your work, Garnet, is so important. If you don't mind, is there a website where people can get your book, or could you give? Because I think everyone should get a copy of your books. They're just quite incredible.
Yeah, the easiest place to access my book is on my website, which is garnetschulhauser.com.
Mm-hmm.
But because that's kind of hard to spell, you can also get to it by dialing in dancingonastamp.com.
Okay.
And they'll both get you to my website. And on my website, there's information about both of my books. You can download a free excerpt. You can also watch a book video for both of them to give you some idea what's in there. And then there's buy links there, which dial you into all the popular online bookstores like Amazon and Barnes & Noble and a number of others. All you have to do is click there, and you get taken right to the page where you can purchase my book. So I'd encourage everyone to go to my website. And if anyone wants to contact me, my email address is on my website as well.
Okay, great, Garnet. That's great. And for my listeners, let me spell your last name. It's Garnet for the first name, Garnet, and your last name is spelled Schulhauser. And one thing that Albert's directing me to read right now is your passage on the top of page 8 of your Dancing Forever with Spirit. And you write, or Albert writes actually, wherever you go, do your best to encourage everyone to treat all humans, all creatures, and Mother Earth herself with the dignity and respect that flows from living a life of love, forgiveness, and compassion. And be sure to comfort those who are grieving the loss of a loved one by reassuring them that all souls return home after their human bodies die, regardless of what they did or did not do while on Earth. The passing of a person on Earth should be a time for celebration without any tears, as everyone will eventually be reunited again on the spirit side. This kind of message on page 8 is the same message that I've been getting recently from Professor Einstein. I've been in touch with Professor Albert Einstein the last couple of months. I've been reviewing some documents for a recent book written by Professor Irvin Laszlo from Budapest, Hungary, and Professor Einstein wants me to review the book, so I've been doing that, and he's actually been saying the same thing. It's been very interesting. Another passage in your book, you write that every night when you go to sleep, you actually travel to your guides and counselors. Could you maybe elucidate on that? That'd be fascinating.
Yeah, well, I mean, that sort of surprised me a bit, but that's clearly the message I got from Albert, is that every night when we sleep, our spirits, our souls, leave our physical bodies temporarily and travel over to the spirit side, and there they can consult with their spirit guides, and sort of like a coaching session, really, because you go over what's happened in your life so far, talk to your guides about what things you can do and not do. Sometimes you make adjustments to your life plan. So it's a very, and this happens every night. We usually aren't allowed to remember it, Ted. I remembered my astral trips with Albert, which I describe in my second book, because he deliberately allowed me to do so I could write about them. But most people, when they have these, we all have them every night, these astral trips to the spirit side, but we're just not allowed to remember them. We pass through the veil of forgetfulness, and so we don't remember those trips, we don't remember what's in our life plan, and we don't remember our previous lives. And that's just all to make it more difficult and more of a challenge to be incarnated on this planet.
Well, I'll drink another cup of coffee to that, that's for sure. That's for sure. Well, I know a lot of people out there, Garnet, go through life wondering, why are we here? What's the purpose of all this? Is there some reason why I'm here or in this particular job or doing this particular occupation? But you write in your book, and Albert's saying now, that everything is pre-planned before you reincarnate into this life. I would love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, before we came here, we were all souls existing on the spirit side. That's really our home, mm-hmm. and that's where we came from. And right. and the reason that we're here, the reason we incarnated, was because mm-hmm. we wanted to learn and experience things on the dense plane, the earth plane, that's just not available to them on the spirit side. So on the spirit side, souls can learn about things, but it's more like book learning. And so to really sort of complete the knowledge of what they're trying to learn, they really have to come to the denser planes, incarnate into a physical body, and then they complete their learning with sort of hands-on experiences. So we do that because this all helps us to grow and evolve as souls. And our real purpose, and this is by our own volition, is that we want to advance and evolve and grow as souls. And incarnating on the dense planes is one of the ways that we can do it, and it really speeds our progress along. And so we plan to come here, and we have very specific reasons. And it depends; it varies with each life, depending on what you've already experienced. You then plan out and say, I'd like to learn this or I'd like to learn that. Mm-hmm. And you prepare a life plan, and the life plan sets out all the major aspects of your lives. So, for example, it'll set out the place you're going to be born, the first language you learn, the identity of your parents and siblings and friends and spouses, and some of the other major aspects of your life. And so so a lot of the aspects are already planned out, and when you're born, a lot of the things are already in place, Ted, because you can't sort of change where you're born or who your parents are.
Right.
But some of the other things in your life don't necessarily always come to fruition, because when you're on Earth, you don't remember that you have a life plan or what's in it, and you have free will to make actions and take decisions. And so because of that, despite what you plan in your life plan, it's not etched in stone, because sometimes your free will take you off course, and you'll stray off the road that you'd like to be on, but then you always have lots of opportunity to get back on it. And with the help of your spirit guides, which is one of their duties, is to send you messages to try to coach you to take the right, when you come to a fork in the road, to take the right fork, so you could get on the path that your soul wanted to experience before you were incarnated. So, life planning is a very important part of it. It determines a lot of the basics of your life, and then from there, you have to sort of try to figure out, based upon your messages from your guides, what you should do once you're here. And those messages are not easily heard because, as you know, Ted, I mean, you hear some direct messages, and a lot of other psychics and mediums do as well. For most people, the messages they get are very subtle, like flashes of intuition, gut feelings, whispers in your mind.
Right.
And all too often, people don't hear them, or they hear them and they just ignore them. And so that's one of the challenges of being a human on this planet.
Well, one of the things that's happened to me during the last couple of years is that I've met people who I've never talked to them before, but I get an email from someone I've never met, and suddenly I feel this kinship and overwhelming feeling of warmth and familiarity with them, and I've known them from previous lives, as it turned out, and it's just been pretty amazing. I wanted to take a quick make a quick station announcement for those who are just tuning in. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW here on 1150 AM in Bellevue, Seattle, Washington, in the United States. We have a fascinating gentleman on the line named Garnet Schulthauser, who's written two different fascinating books. One's called Dancing on a Stamp, and the second one is called Dancing Forever with Spirit, with his communications with Albert, who's also here today. Professor Einstein just popped in, and he wanted me to give a famous quote from him. He says that God doesn't play with dice. In other words, things happen for a reason. There's a purpose in why we meet the people we do, the work we do. And sometimes you're right, Garnet. People get off track, but that's where I think a good psychic, or if you can get in touch with your spirit guides, like you did with Albert, they're a great gift to you because they can help get you back on the right path that you're supposed to be following.
Yes, absolutely, and it's and for people, I mean, I would certainly recommend to people that can't seem to sort of discern the messages from their guides, or that seem to be lost and floundering a bit. I mean, if you do know a good psychic or medium, you know, they can be a very good source of allowing you to communicate with your guides or loved ones who've already passed on, and they can give you a lot of good guidance. They will never give you sort of the exact layout, the exact step-by-step map of what you should do, because that would make it too easy for you.
Right.
But they can give you some very good hints about where you should be heading, and then from there you can just take it, you know, take it from there, and things will just come to you as you go. So I certainly recommend that to people. Mm-hmm. The other way of listening to your guides is through meditation, to sit down and quiet your mind, get rid of all the clutter of all the other thoughts, and then if you can do that, the messages from your guides will start to slowly come in, and the more you do it, the more of your messages you'll hear.
And
it's really good, very good guidance, because these guys, your spirit guides, are your coaches. They're there with you all the time. They're trying to get you on the right track,
right.
But it's frustrating for them if you don't hear them or even don't even bother to try to hear them. So that's really a good source of guidance for your journey on Earth.
And Albert and my spirit guides are saying you have to be in a positive mood when you do this kind of meditation. If you're in a bad mood, they won't come through. It's harder for them to come through. Also, if you've consumed a lot of alcohol or drugs, that's a shortcut, and they don't. It's interference. They can't come through with that either. I just wrote an article actually on my website. If you go to www.outofthisworld1150.com, and you go to Ask Ted, I just put a piece of article yesterday on how to communicate with spirits. So that's a good way to go too. In my own background, I was very fortunate. I came from a psychic family, and since for the past 21 years, I've been given constant life reviews by by Terry, my dear foster mother, and my angel family, so that during that time, I've advanced about 23 different spiritual lifetimes. If each spiritual lifetime is approximately 80 years, then I've advanced to somewhere between 16 to 1700 Earth years. In other words, it would have taken me that long in existence on this planet to get to where I am now. This led to my radio program and how I work as a psychic today. There's something very important that Albert wants me to share with you, and it goes back to a guest I had on a show a week ago, a wonderful lady named Ariana. She's a star child. She's got so many different profound messages for humanity. But one of the messages that came through her and her psychic friend Kyle a week ago was that, I know there's a lot of people listening out there in the audience listening to the show, and they're saying, well, how can I make this planet a better place? What can I do? And the message that came through, and this is being confirmed by Albert now and Ariana and her psychic friends, is that practice kindness and compassion in everyday life. And that can be as simple as treating somebody kind you meet at a restaurant, a waiter or waitress, thanking them, thanking someone for their services they provide, opening the door for someone, smiling at someone in a genuine way, trying to bring happiness into another person's life, because that's all life is made up of, little moments in time. And if you practice that, you will help create a better planet.
Well said, Ted. I couldn't have said it better myself. And that's exactly what we have to do. It may seem like some people may say, well, what can one person do? But everyone can do something, and embracing love and compassion, like you mentioned, by doing random acts of kindness to other people, smiling at people as you meet them on the street.
Right.
And above all, learning to control our negative emotions so that we all have, the moments where we have fear and anger and hate and envy and so on. And those negative emotions are really the root cause of most of the problems we have in our planet. And we all have to learn to sort of control them, to stifle them, and eventually totally discard them. And that's part of what we need to do.
Sure.
And if you fully embrace love, there is no room for negative emotion. So that's really the goal we all have to aspire to achieve.
I want to mention, Albert's directing me to Chapter 9, beginning on page 77 of your Dancing Forever with Spirit book. And you have a whole chapter on thoughts or energy. One of the important things that my foster mother, Terry, told me about was that thoughts are things, that thoughts are actually in the fifth dimension, but they take precedence over the third dimension. Whenever you think of a thought, try to make it a positive thought, because those thoughts do, in fact, materialize here in the third dimension. The other thing that's happening, and this is, Michel de Nostradamus is coming in now, and he's saying, I've been in touch with him the last couple of months, he's saying that the planet as a whole is slowly evolving into the fifth dimension. And eventually, and I've said this before in my program, but we are embarking on a period of spiritual evolution, a revolution, if you will, that'll lead to 1,000 years of peace and prosperity starting in the 2020s and 2030s. And the entire planet and humanity on this planet will become the new Earth. And this is what Albert, and this is what you mentioned too in your your book on page 15. Could you mention a little bit about that? You've written extensively about that in your book.
Well, yeah, he did actually. One of our astral trips, Albert took me to visit the new Earth in a higher dimension. Mm-hmm. And he started off by showing me sort of all the abuse that humans heap on one another, on our planet,
right,
and creatures.
Right.
And I was getting a little depressed, and he said, well, but there is light at the end of the tunnel, because the ultimate place that we can go to, as long as we can increase our vibrations to match the vibrations of this new Earth in a higher dimension, and he said, I'll take you there to show you what it's like. So he did. We went there, and I met with a descendants of a civilization, a human civilization that had originally, a long time ago, lived in Central America,
mm-hmm.
and they had managed to orchestrate a mass ascension for all their people up to the new Earth. And they did that to escape a barbarian army that was encroaching on their territory, and would have been bad news had they stuck around. So I met with the descendants. Sorry,
wait,
I met
wait.
With the descendants of these of the people who did the mass ascension, and they were living in a very idyllic life, Ted. It was there was no negative emotions. They lived in harmony with the other creatures on the planet.
Wonderful.
They didn't eat animal flesh. They consumed food made from plants. There was no crime and no conflicts. They loved one another unconditionally. They had learned to arrest the aging process and ward off diseases, and they learned how to repair bodily tissues in the event of trauma. So basically, they all lived for a couple hundred years, and they didn't have to work or do anything. Everything was provided for them, and all they had to do was pursue knowledge and fun and recreational activities and enjoy the splendor of their planet. So it was a great place, place to be. And somewhere where we can all eventually get there, if we can embrace love and compassion and raise our vibration. So that's the target for humanity.
Well, I have to tell you, this brings back a story. I'll be going to a UFO conference in Mount Shasta, California, and while I'm there, I'll be meeting a gentleman named Craig Campobasso. And I had Craig on my show a couple of months ago, and he has an award-winning film called Stranger at the Pentagon. And in that film, it's actually based on a true story of where this angelically created being from the Galactic Alliance came down and met with Eisenhower in 1957. And he actually stayed at the Pentagon from 1957 to 1960. And one of the things that he offered President Eisenhower was that technology and spiritual evolution so that we could completely rid the planet here completely of disease and poverty. Unfortunately, Vice President Nixon was against it because he was afraid his doctor friends would lose all their jobs and the pharmaceutical companies would go out of business if they did get rid of all disease. And the Joint Chiefs of Staff here in the United States was against it also because they didn't get any weapons. So thought terrible choices, you know. And I'm sure if that was put to a vote of the American public, that they would have chosen a different path. But such as it is. When President Kennedy was assassinated on November 22nd, 1963, he's coming through to me now. He said that we have an opportunity now to pick up where we left off in the late 50s and early 60s, because since the 60s, there's been basically a hidden government or cabal, if you will, in control of much of the United States and the world, making all these awful decisions for us. But now we're breaking free of that, and the planet as a whole, they're telling me, and Albert's saying this too, is that we're destined to become a far better and far happier place. And your work and my radio program and the wonderful people at the Dr. Moto's office in Tokyo, we are all working hard, and countless light workers around the world, to make this planet a better place. And I know if we keep trying, we'll make it happen, because the light is always stronger than the dark.
Yeah, no, absolutely, and Albert tried to cheer me up by also saying that, you know, we have a long struggle ahead of us, but we got friends in high places who are really all pulling
right.
for us, and it's the people on the spirit side, the Council of Wise Ones, and other masters. They're all busy picking up the pace of messages that they're channeling through to people around the world. I mean, they channel through you and through me, and people who write blogs and books and host TV shows and radio shows and speak at engagements, and that pace has really picked up because there's a lot more people who are spreading the word now than, say, you know, 20 or 30 years ago, for sure. And they're deliberately doing that because we're at a crucial point and they want the message to get out. And then besides them, we also have our ET friends from other planets who are also pulling for us, also trying to help us. So we have a lot of people pushing us, behind us, trying to get us over this hump. And Albert said, you know, we have a ways to go yet, he says, but he's very confident that we can make the change before we destroy ourselves. So I'm certainly hoping, and I'm really hanging on his words and hoping that what he said was true.
Oh, I agree. Everything, all the information I've gotten from the spirit side during the last 21 years has been 100% true. The only times, sometimes it's hard to discern what they really mean, but usually that comes by later. Yes, Albert's directed me to another clause in your book on page 22 in Dancing Forever with Spirit, and he wants me to read it to you briefly now. He writes, "We do not understand the unbridled arrogance of the human race. They act like Earth was put there for their own exclusive use, and the other creatures that share your planet do not matter. Earth and all its other creatures do not deserve such abuse. However, we seem to be powerless to stop this from happening." And then he writes, "To be honest, your planet would be much better off without any humans." He writes about this other planet which you've visited called Proteus. And in Proteus, we enjoy a healthy, balanced ecosystem without any pollution. The reason I mentioned Proteus, I want you to talk about Proteus a little bit. I know you visited it several hundred light years from here. What's it like there?
Well, it's a beautiful planet. I first saw it, Albert took me there, I first saw it from space, and it actually looked a lot like Earth,
uh-huh.
with sort of blue oceans and white clouds,
mm-hmm.
except they had no land masses, so it was entirely covered as oceans, Ted.
Mm-hmm.
And so we dropped down towards the planet, dropped down beneath the surface of the planet, and there, the plant life and sea life there look much like the subsurface of the oceans of Earth. And mm-hmm. I remember seeing that from my snorkeling excursions in the Caribbean, so it looked very much like that.
Fascinating.
And I found out, I had a conversation with a humpback whale and a dolphin there by
mm-hmm.
telepathy, and they said that the sea life there looks so much similar to the sea life on Earth, because much of the sea life on Earth was originally seeded from Proteus. That's where it came from, including a lot of the animals. And these two creatures said that they keep in contact with their cousins on Earth, with the whales and dolphins on Earth, by telepathy, even though it's over vast distances. And so they were reporting that they were very upset about what they heard from their cousins on Earth, because they were complaining, the ones on Earth, about the abuse they've been receiving over the years from humans, you know, hunting and trapping and, you know, keeping it captive in water parks and all kinds of other things. And they said that, you know, our cousins there on Earth are highly intelligent creatures. They want to live in harmony with the other creatures around them, with their planet. and they don't understand why humans can't live in harmony with them instead of abusing them. And so they were very frustrated, but they seem to be, as the book says, they seem to be powerless to do anything to stop humans. And, you know, things were good before humans came on the scene, and, you know, when they said Earth would be better off without humans, that's fully understandable from their perspective, because
we have
done nothing to help them, and we've done a lot of things to abuse them, which is really unfortunate.
Well, let me footnote what you're saying. Here in the United States, it's not reported by our media very much, because I think much of the media in the United States is controlled. But there's an ongoing program right now by the United States Navy to exterminate up to 5 million, that's right, 5 million dolphins and whales in all the oceans of the world as part of their new sonar program for, quote, national security. I'll put quotes around national security. And once that's done, of course, I think it'll be very tragic. There is a lawsuit that's been filed against the United States Navy in the U.S. District Court in Hawaii by the Natural Resources Defense Council in New York City to try to put a stop to this madness. But, this is not covered by the media. But once again, this is wholesale slaughter of these beautiful dolphins and whales. And a lot of actions are undertaken by governments and entities around this planet without any public accountability at all. And the public here in the United States was never asked to vote on whether they wanted to eliminate all the dolphins and whales on this planet. In fact, if you took a vote of the world's people and people in the United States, I'm sure they would be overwhelmingly in favor of protecting these beautiful creatures. But yet our government goes off on their merry way, and there's you don't read about it in our papers at all. But that's one of the examples of abuse of a beautiful beautiful species here on the planet.
That would be absolutely horrible if that happened, Ted. And I can't understand why the U.S. Navy would want to do that, because they're beautiful, they're intelligent creatures. They have feelings and emotions just like humans, and they don't want to. I mean, they want to live in harmony with us. As I said, they don't want to do anything against us. They just want us to stop abusing them. And I think we really need to get the message out to people that we've got to stop all the damage we're doing to these beautiful creatures.
Well, I have to tell you, in another program, I had Jeffrey Smith on, who's a internationally known expert on genetically modified foods. And you know that in the American Midwest now, Garnet, you may not read about this in the papers. I hope the Canadian press is better than ours, but the monarch butterfly in the American Midwest is almost extinct, because 99% of them are gone, and they're almost extinct because of Monsanto Corporation. And it's because of Monsanto's genetically modified corn, which has destroyed virtually all of the milkweed habitat in the American Midwest. I had him on a week ago, and I also called the governors of several Midwestern states. And in the United States, this is where the habitats are for the monarch butterfly, Minnesota's not doing anything. Illinois is not doing anything. Nebraska's doing nothing. And the only state in that whole area basically is Iowa, and there's a little bit of help in Kansas with the monarch butterfly. But according to some scientists, the monarch butterfly will be gone in the next year or two. All thanks to, if nothing's done, all thanks to Monsanto and their genetically modified corn, which, by the way, is you can't sell. It's not used in Europe because Europeans don't want it, because the corn itself is carcinogenic and causes birth defects. That's part of the abuse, I think, that's going on here on the planet. I've had a gentleman on my show before named Scott Lemriel. He's written a wonderful book called The Say-Raise Agenda. And for those interested in his book, you can go to my website at www.outofthisworld1150.com and look at my past guests. And in the book, Scott details on how U.S. President Eisenhower signed an illegal secret agreement with a group of reptilian aliens back in 1954. That this was during the Cold War with the Russians, with the Soviets. And in exchange for this advanced alien technology to fight the Soviets, he allowed illegally these alien creatures to abduct and study humans. Well, that was over 60 years ago now. And according to Scott, these reptilians have actually developed technology to control many of the leaders on this planet. They do it through electromagnetic implants. And as they do that, it's not. You may ask yourself, why is the U.S. Navy with an active program to exterminate 5 million dolphins and whales on the planet? Who gave them that authority? Actually. According to some people think that the U.S. Navy is actually controlled by these reptilians, and the reptilians want to get rid of these dolphins and whales because it'll lower the vibration of planet Earth. So that's what I know. But I think that eventually their influence will be lessened. I think they're undergoing a transformation as well, and I think that people will make the right choices to save these beautiful creatures.
I certainly hope so, Ted, because it would be an absolute tragedy if that happened. And, you know, if I could take every human on this planet to go to a trip to Proteus like I did with Albert, I think our attitudes would change very quickly overnight. Unfortunately, that's just not doable.
Right, right. Albert's asked me to focus on another spot in your book on page 26 on Dancing Forever with Spirit. He wants me to read this. You people have to realize that the other creatures on your planet were not put there to be abused by humans. Homo sapiens must rid themselves of their intolerable arrogance when it comes to other animals. Quote, all creatures on Earth have an equal right to live their lives as it was intended, and humans do not have a special status in the animal kingdom. They just think they do. The abuse of other animals will continue until enough enlightened humans demand a stop to these practices. Although a lot of progress is made in recent years, you still have a long way to go. And one of the things he said, too, is that I think this awareness, of course, your book, my radio program, and the many light workers around the planet, by simply mentioning this on air to over 60 countries around the world, helps people enlighten themselves and raise the consciousness. So when they see U.S. Navy ships out there and U.S. Navy submarines testing their sonar, and they find that these whales and dolphins are beaching themselves on the beaches, the reason why they're coming up to beach themselves on the shorelines is because they're trying to get away from these sonars. That's what's happening, and the people need to understand that. This is what's happening.
Well, yeah, and I think that the key, as you said, Ted, is awareness. We have to make as many people as possible around the world aware of the problem, and make them feel that it's sort of their duty to speak out in any way they can, whether it be to their elected politicians or to whoever that's running their country, and get this to stop. And it's going to take a concerted effort, but we have to do that, because it would be an absolute tragedy if that program was carried out.
Sure. One of the things that I really enjoyed reading your book, too, was that you talked about your a life review with your pet, little dog, and what he was thinking. And I want to read this quote again from Albert. It says, quote, humans need to understand that animals also have souls that will return to the spirit side when their physical bodies die. They are having a journey on Earth to learn and experience things just like you. In fact, he writes that you have had several animal incarnations before you began your human lives, which is not unusual for souls who come to Earth. You don't remember any of these lives while you were here, but you'll remember them once you get back to the spirit side, which I found just fascinating.
Yeah, and that conversation sort of originated way back when I was writing Dancing on a Stamp, or I was having a dialogue with Albert, and I asked him the question, do animals have souls? And he said to me, you need only look into the eyes of your little dog to find your answer. Mm-hmm. And he was right. He said, yeah, absolutely, animals have souls, and they have feelings, and they have emotions, and if we could really tap into those, we'd really look at them very much differently. And in one segment of my life review, which I wrote about in Dancing Forever with Spirit,
right,
he actually took me back to a segment when I was still practicing law. I came home from work one day, and I had a bad day. I was busy, and my little dog Oscar had been sleeping in his bed, waiting for me. When he heard the garage door open, he comes running out to the entrance door, his tail wagging, anxious to see me because I'm a very important person in his life.
Sure.
And I just ignored him, walked by, didn't say hi, didn't pat him, didn't do anything.
Wow.
I didn't intentionally try to hurt him, but I just was busy and I had my head in the clouds.
Sure.
And then in my life review, I actually got to hear my little dog's thoughts and feel his feelings. And the poor little guy was just devastated. It's like, you know, what did I do wrong? I mean, you're the most important person in my life, and you're just ignoring me.
Oh.
All I wanted was you to show me some love and affection.
Mm-hmm.
And he walked right by me, and I don't know what else I can do, because I really want some attention from you. And the poor little guy had to go slouching back to his bed, and if dogs could cry, he would have had tears rolling down his cheeks. And it was just really, I was just devastated. I was watching this life review because I didn't realize that dogs had those feelings and emotions. And so after that, I looked at animals very much differently, you know, not just cats and dogs, but all animals, knowing that there is a soul in there that has feelings and emotions, and they deserve to be treated with dignity and respect.
Isn't that beautiful? This is the same message that my other guest a week ago, Ariana Starchild, gave too. And through her guides, they were saying that little bits of kindness, really do count during the day, and you have to be very careful and try to get rid of all your negative thoughts. When you go through a life review, for people who don't know what that is, from my understanding, you go through every single act, word, and deed you ever did, not only from your perspective, but from everyone else and all the animals you affected as well.
Yeah, that's the neat thing about a life review is that I mean, you could sort of watch your life like you're watching a 3D movie.
Sure.
But you could actually, to add to the effect, you can actually hear the thoughts, feel the emotions of the people you interacted with. So if you said some nasty words to someone at work, you'll be able to hear, feel their rejection and their hurt and so on. On the other hand, if you did something very kind that you weren't even aware of, you'll be able to feel the amazing gratitude that act of kindness did and to the person on the receiving end. So it's really an amazing experience, and it really demonstrates how your words and actions can affect others even when you're not even aware. You know, as you go through life, you're not aware of how you affect other people. On your life review, you see exactly how you did, and it's a great learning tool.
All this beautiful light just came into the studio again as you said that, Garnet. And I want to thank you for, I want to thank you so much for saying that. The other thing too, we've only got a couple of minutes left now, but the other thing too I wanted to emphasize is that all of your activities, not only from this life, but all your previous lives are held in what's called the Akashic Records. Now, you visited the Akashic Records, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Albert took me there.
Wow.
The first time was for my brief life review. Another time he let me see some of my previous lives on Earth. And, of course, he was deliberately picking out the segments that he wanted me to see. I wasn't sort of free to go back and look at whatever because he had a very deliberate agenda. But I did see some of my previous lives, and they're all described in my book, Dancing Forever with Spirit. And every one of those different segments, there's a lesson for me and for all humanity in it. And so I'd encourage people to read it. We don't have time to get into that, but they're all in my second book. And the Akashic Records has the history of every life that's ever been lived in the universe. And when you're on the spirit side, you can access any of those, not just your lives, but everyone else's lives too.
Isn't that fascinating? Well, we talked briefly about this off air a few minutes ago, but I want to mention this again to you, Garnet, that I'm having what I call a Galactic Wisdom Conference here in the Seattle area on March 4, 5, and 6. I had one here earlier this year in Gig Harbor. It was a fantastic conference. It's a UFO and spiritual conference, and I would be deeply honored if you could attend next year.
I would be delighted to attend, Ted. I thank you very much for the invitation.
Great, great. And next time I'm going to have you on for 2 hours because an hour just isn't long enough.
I look forward to it, Ted.
It just isn't long enough. I'd heard about you, and then I got your books, and then I started reading them, and then I realized that an hour wasn't long enough. But we have a couple of minutes left, and I just wanted to ask you. I wanted to thank you for coming on today, and we will be having Elsa Methus, who's also a psychic, a wonderful lady who's been in contact with her son on the other side since he passed away when he was age 20. That'll be on for the next hour. But we've got a couple of minutes left, and Garnet, I'd like to give you the floor on it and just say whatever you like from Albert and your friends today to wrap up your interview.
Well, I'd encourage everyone to read my books because I think that, as Ted said, we just sort of touched the surface of what's there. Albert asked me to write these books because he wanted his message to get out to as many people as possible. And so the best way of getting his message is to actually read the books. And my third book, which will be out sometime in early 2016, called Dance of Heavenly Bliss, describes some more astral adventures that I had with Albert. He takes me to different planets in the galaxy with very different civilizations. And I meet some very interesting people on the spirit side. And I actually interview them, and I describe that in my book. And I'm very excited about it. I think the third book is going to be the best of the three. And I really encourage you to, when you notice that it's been released, to buy it and read it.
Wonderful, Garnet. Well, one thing, too, we got about a minute left, a little over a minute left. I wanted to say, too, for my many listeners around the world, that we'd been down this road before. You write about Atlantis and Lemuria in your book and how we had reached a great state of technological advance, but the spiritual side did not catch up as much, and we ended up destroying ourselves in both civilizations. We are at that same point now, Albert's saying, and my spirit friends on the other side are saying, but I think this time we will make it, and we will create a far better and far happier planet because it's our destiny to create a paradise on Earth.
Yeah, and Albert certainly reinforces that. He says, you know, we've got a ways to go, but if we really dig in and get at it with determination and have everyone who's spiritually aware try to spread the word and get other people to become aware of it, he says we can get over this crucial point and we can progress, we can ascend to the new earth, which
Absolutely.
Is where we should be going.
Absolutely. That's what people have tried to do for the past, I don't know how many years, but history is repeating itself and we have doors opening now that we didn't have open before. Well, Garnet, thank you so much for coming on today. And I will be inviting you back on the show sometime soon, my friend. Stay tuned.
Thank you, Ted, for having me. Yeah.
My pleasure. You have a wonderful day.